And you know what? I have found out, the Bible says, the way of the transgressor is hard. But if you keep God's word, it's a good path. It's a great path. And it's the best way to go. And so the Apostle Peter put it this way. He said in chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And you know what it speaks of in that same context, that the elder submitting, the younger submitting to the elder. In other words, you children, you might see problems in your parents, but they have things to teach you. Don't get bitter at your parents. Listen, try to learn from you. You know, my dad, I kept giving him all kind of trouble. I gave my dad trouble. And I got older, I gave him trouble. And when I got saved, between my junior and senior high school, my relationship with my dad changed overnight. And it got better and better. Why? Because I realized his wisdom. And he had experience. And I learned things from him. And I used to be like on the outs with him. But after I got saved, he really liked me. And he really liked Joe Slobodnik. On his deathbed, he was talking about Joe Slobodnik. But I'm saying, you know, you younger people need to humble yourself. And I was talking to a guy the other day. We were going out soul winning together, and I was saying, you need to get locked in. I said, three to thrive. Be here Sunday morning. Be here Sunday evening. Be here Wednesday, unless you're sick with some kind of flu. Be locked in. And I said, you're a soldier now. You have to get into boot camp. I'm like a, I don't know, at least a captain. But I'm in the Army. I said, you got to get into boot camp and get trained. And it's discipline. It's going to be difficult. And that's what disciple has to do with. Discipline ones, because you're following God's word. And so, you know, it's a humbling thing, but the Bible says, humble yourself under the mind. And he's going to exalt you in due time. I took a lot of humbling, a lot of chastening, and a lot of, guy my own age was my pastor, and he was rebuking me in a nice way. He rebuked me in a nice way, but he was my best friend. But listen, why don't you hang around somebody that rubs you the wrong way? Because you need to turn your cap around. The fur is being rubbed. If you turn your life around, the fur will be good. I've given the illustration. Matt, you want to come up here? We'll do that illustration. I always do. Some of these things I need to keep repeating. Jasmine, good to see you here. You got a reward in Sunday school, right? From Miss Payone? Is that right? Good. I'm glad. All right, Brother Matt, can you walk slowly? Stand right here, brother, and just walk a step at a time in that direction. I'm going to give you the encouragement. So here's Brother Matt, and I'm preaching the word, and the word is just an encouragement. Now turn around, Brother Matt. Thank you, sir. Give him a hand. I do that. And has that ever happened to Brother Matt? Brother Matt, has that ever happened to you? Bobby, he's in our Sons of the Prophets Baptist College, and he's a bus captain, but he gets it. And I'm just saying that is needed for you to get under somebody that's older in the Lord that can give you the Word of God. We call it discipling you, if you will, and you will grow thereby. And it's such a blessing. And that's what we want to see. Hey, back there, wake up! You. Yeah. There it is in action. All right. Amen. So I'm just saying that you need to humble yourself. First of all, you need to humble yourself under God because of his chastisement upon you. Secondly, you need to humble yourself under God because of the pain disobedient people in your sphere of influence cause you. You know, when you're walking with God like Jeremiah was, it pained him when his relatives cut him down for what he was doing. It pained him when his people, he saw going against God and suffering terribly and even dying. And he experienced humbling pain because of that. And even Jeremiah, because of the way the people treated him, they did not like his preaching. And they took him and put him in a muddy pit way down under the ground. And he was dying down there in that pit. They didn't care. You know, who rescued him was an African man who told him to put clots of stuff, threw him down there and put him under his armpits, then threw a rope down. He pulled him up by the rope and he got out of that pit and God delivered him. But he went through such pain because of God's dealing with these people of God that had turned against him. And he was attacked over and over again by these people. You know, I hear people, I'm sure you've heard people, "I don't go to your church because I feel judged." You ever heard that? "I don't go to your church because I feel judged." And I say to those people, I say, "Well, I'm not the judge. Ultimately, God is the judge. I'm just his mailman. I'm giving you his message. So if you feel judged, it's because I just preach the word of God, just like it's written. It's not me. And so it's not about me. And so I'm just saying to you that we need to let the word of God judge when we're off beam. And if you want to go to heaven, maybe some of you here, you're not even born again, you're not going to heaven, maybe you're not listening like you should and you're missing something. But I'm just saying to you this morning that God's word will judge you and say, "You're going on the wrong road. There's a way that seems right, but you're on the road to hell." And the Lord said, "You need to turn around." And you can't then save yourself. You need to look to Jesus and see he died and rose again to give you a new life. And you need to accept him by faith. You need to accept Jesus. Have you accepted Jesus really as your Savior? Is he in your life? If he is, he will be leading you to allow yourself to be judged by the word of God. To allow yourself to be confronted. Now, some people, they're going, you know, the same word that feeds the sheep dehorns the billy goats. The same word. And the same word that melts wax hardens concrete. Or the same sun that melts wax hardens concrete. And I'm just saying to you, not everybody that says they're saved is saved. By their fruits, you're going to know them. And if they're living like the devil, don't you be distracted by them from the true way of God. You follow the right way of God. And you're going to go through pain from these people. They will give you a hard time because they don't, you know, like Moses when he was in the wilderness, did the people like the food that God fed through Moses, the manna? No, they got sick of it. They said, "We want Egyptian food." Why? Because they were part of a mixed multitude. Not everybody that went up was a true child of God. There were people with Egyptian appetites. They went up and they didn't want what the God was offering. Listen, this church is not for everybody. You got to be born again. And if you're born again and following God, then it's for you. And so this morning, I'm saying God wants you to make progress to grow to a mature, strong believer. But it's going to be by humbling and by a process of humbling in your life. And you're going to experience some things from people. Now, the Lord Jesus experienced humbling in his life by suffering God's wrath for you, because he knew that suffering would bring you to believe upon him and that he could save you forever. Think about it. The Lord humbled himself, didn't he? He was worshiped by angels. He was in heaven and everybody worshiped the Lord. But when he became a little baby and he grew up, what'd they say? Oh, he was born of fornication. Where was the husband when she got pregnant? Where? And they had a rumor going around that she had committed fornication, and that's why she was pregnant. Actually, she had a virgin birth by a miracle, because she was a virgin and God blessed her, and yet that was humbling to be accused of that, you know, to be called a bastard child. That's what they called him. And so he grew up and he went through that. His own family rejected him. His brothers, half-brothers, rejected him. And they didn't believe on him till later on. And then he humbled himself and went to be arrested. They arrested him. They spit in his face. They pulled his beard out. When I went there to Israel, I saw where the Roman soldiers had him. And the Roman soldiers, this was traditional, they would put Roman soldiers in a circle, the guy they were crucifying, and they would push him, the crucified one, to the other soldier, and the other soldier would push him, and they'd mock him as they pushed him back and forth. And then they would beat him with a cat of nine tails and then nail him to the cross. And you know, Jeremiah describes his pain, and I believe it's a little picture of Jesus. Look at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1, and I want to read a verse that says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. God was pouring out his judgment upon his people. But you know what? Jesus is the man that experienced the wrath of God so that you could have the blessing of God in your life. Thank God for that. He said in chapter 3, verse 8, Jeremiah, but I believe it points to the Lord, he said, also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Do you remember when Jesus cried out to God and God shut his prayer out? He wouldn't listen. In fact, he treated him like the worst sinner that ever lived. And you remember what Jesus said? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now he knew why, but he was in such pain. That's how you'd, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I love you. I have always been with you. And he was there because he knew that's what it would take, that kind of pain, that kind of humbling to save you. By the way, he was not with a loincloth as he's pictured. He didn't have long hippie hair either, but he wasn't with a loincloth as they picture him. I had a guy one time say, you said Jesus didn't have long hair. I was in his house. I said, well, why do you think he had long hair? He said, look at his picture. And he showed me a picture on the wall. I said, huh, you got a point. So ridiculous. That wasn't a picture of Jesus. They didn't see Jesus. They were painted in the Middle Ages. But he didn't have a loincloth. He was naked and humbled. And he was also mocked. Look at verse 14, what the prophet said. He said, speaking of Jeremiah, he said, I was in derision to all my people and their song all the day. And so what he was saying is, my people were mocking me. They were mocking my preaching. They were mocking my ministry. But this points to Jesus. Remember when he was on the cross, they said, ah, he saved others. He can't even save himself. If you're the Son of God, come down from there and save yourself. Did he do it? No. That was humbling. He took the insult. He didn't answer back. He took the pain. Why? Because if he would have come down from that cross, where would we be? In hell, all of us. Burning in the fire of hell. Taking the wrath of God forever. So I'm talking about the humbling for your salvation, and you should be willing to go through pain and humbling and yet make progress through your pain. I'm thinking of Brother Matt today, who was just up here. Brother Matt, Jesus humbled himself and took that wrath on that cross so that Matt could be here and be a Sunday school teacher and be a bus captain and be married this summer and all of the rest of it. Matt was, when Jesus showed up, Matt was, he'd fried his brains with drugs. He was brought up in a Baptist home, but he'd taken too many drugs and fried his brain on drugs, right? And he was in the hospital and lost his mind, and Jesus showed up and showed him himself, and he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Think of Brother Jesse, our deacon back there, with his mother, and thank God for Mrs. Kresge and his mom. But Jesse, when he was a teenager, he was getting in fights. He was not doing well. And one of our bus guys showed up and gave him the gospel and told him about Jesus. And Jesse looked away from himself to Jesus. And now he's been following Jesus ever since. And God has blessed his life. He's a deacon in the church. He's serving God. He takes all my insults. And he goes on and does doesn't quit. And I'm just saying that you can progress through pain if you understand that your salvation is a free gift to you. Yeah, but the Lord had to go through humbling and pain to give it to you. And listen, you're going to have to go through humbling and pain if you want to help others. But a lot of people get into a church, they get a little pain, they say, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And you're not going to get blessed. And you're not going to bless others that way. So progress through pain. First, by your humbling. Second, by your hoping. Look at Lamentations 3, and we're going to look at verse 21 in just a moment. But through the pain of your humbling, because of the process of chastening, then God can bring you to hope again. Look what it says, verse 21. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Now, he was pretty hopeless if you read the rest of the chapter before that. He was not hoping because of the pain. How many of you have ever been in pain and just didn't hope to get out of it? Yeah, I've been there, done that, bought that t-shirt. And Jeremiah was there and he had no hope, but then God gave him hope again. And let me say to you, hope is, by definition in the Bible, not I hope we can get to church because there's not going to be a lot of snow Sunday morning. No, it is I know God is going to bless me in the future. Therefore, I'll keep going forward because I know at the end of this dark tunnel of pain, God's got something good for me if I pass the test and I stay with it. And that's what Jeremiah had. He said, I have hope again. And the Apostle Peter says that you may know if you're born again. He says, you're begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Were the disciples hopeless when Jesus died? Yeah. Did they expect the resurrection? No. They were hopeless. They were walking around just thinking of grieving, and that's all they could think about. Now, there's a place for grief, but we don't grieve as those that have no hope. Awilda didn't lose Benji. She knows where he is. She'll see him again. Marilla didn't lose Reuben, though she grieves. I know. But she's going to see Reuben again. And I don't understand it, but I know God makes no mistakes. Robert Thomas Ketchum, a great man of God, says, if you're born again, you have a loving heavenly Father who's too good to be unkind and too wise to make any mistakes. There are people that make mistakes, but God doesn't, and he's over it all. You say, well, when will I understand it? Not till you get up there. Brother Hiles used to say his mother would knit all the time, kind of like Betsy. I got her attention. Boy, she looked right up. She knitted all the time. Look at Betsy. She just knitting. And he would be a little kid, and he would sit on the floor, and she would knit certain patterns into her knitting, and they didn't make any sense to him on the floor looking up. But then she would take him up and pick him up and put him on her lap, and he would look down at what she was knitting, and oh, he could understand it now. That's the way it's going to be in the future. You're going to have to progress through pain, unfortunately, because we need trials, don't we? We need testings of our faith to prove it's real and it's precious to God. And you also need chastening because you get out of line, so you got to be spanked, you know. God has to spank you. But listen, you can appreciate it. And Jeremiah said, I have hope. Why did he have hope? It says in the next verse, verse 22, I'll read it. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Now, I heard this interview with Tucker Carlson and Mike Huckabee, and it was on Israel, and Tucker went there just to make fun of Israel. He did his homework. He had it all ready, and all of his questions were, in a sense, diabolical. Mike Huckabee did a good job of answering them, but Tucker you could see he just wanted to make a point, and his point was that Israel are not God's chosen people. Their regathering back to the land is not any more legitimate than any other country in the world, and he sees no providential divine hand in that thing that is going on in Israel's life. But you know, the Bible says here, the Jew is a miracle. Israel is amazing. And that's what Huckabee said. You may not believe this, Tucker, but I believe that. He was so kind and nice to Tucker. He invited him to come to his church, and he tried to be nice to him. Tucker was just trying to make him look like a fool. And pray for Tucker. He needs to get right with God. He professed to be a Christian, but he needs to understand God's plan. But anyway, I'm saying Jeremiah realized it's of the Lord's mercy we're not consumed. You know what? It's of the Lord's mercy that you're not going to hell. It's of the Lord's mercy that you're in a Baptist church. If you're saved and baptized and a member of the church, God put you here. And he could have let you be destroyed. But he's preserved your life. And he's doing that for the Jewish people. They've disobeyed him. They're not even now believing him. But he has a plan for them. He has something. And Jeremiah recognized that. He recognized the prophecies of the Bible way back in his day in the 600 BC. They would be fulfilled sometime in the 2600 or so AD. He didn't know when, but he knew sometime in the future. And he believed God. And that's what you need to do. You say, Pastor, what keeps you going? I have progress through the pain because I'm hoping for the future. I preach on prophecy a lot. This Iran war is an amazing thing. It's a fulfillment, I believe, very well could be, of Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39. Look at this thing. And there are other prophecies that are going to be fulfilled, and Jesus is going to come back, and the Jews are all going to get saved in the kingdom of God. It's a great future. And Jeremiah, he had so much pain he couldn't see it. Then he turned his eyes and he said, wow, God has preserved us. He's kept us. There's still a remnant of... Hey, you ever heard of the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel? What is that? Ezekiel 37? Valley of Dry Bones? They were just dead bones, dry. And you know what that reminds me of? The Jews in Hitler's ovens, when he was baking them in the ovens. And Hitler's goal was to kill every Jew. In fact, as the war went on, he was so possessed by Satan that he wanted to kill every Jew. He wanted to conquer the world and kill the Jews. But kill the Jews was the... There is an Israelite derangement syndrome that's from Satan. People that are anti-Christian Zionists, like I'm a Christian Zionist... They have a derangement syndrome. Right, Jesse? Yeah. Watch out for those guys. And I'm just saying that Jeremiah saw, we're not consumed. There's a future for us. Daniel saw it. I see it in the Word of God. But there's going to be some pain. There's a time even coming called Jacob's trouble. I'm just telling you today, listen, learn to make progress through your pain. Through humbling yourself under God's dealing, through hoping for God's future, because that hope is real. And don't be like Tucker is right now. I pray he changes and sees no future for God's chosen people. And third, you can make progress through your pain by honoring, by your honoring. Notice what it says in verse 23. He says, speaking of the mercies of God, you know what mercy is. Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. You deserve to be kicked out. You deserve to be on the outs. But God gives us mercy, and he says, his mercies are new every morning. Verse number 23. You know what? In your pain... And in your misery, because perhaps you've been chastened for your sin, you need to honor God's attribute of mercy. He loves to be merciful. He loves to show you His goodness and His mercy. And I think about a clock, like a big clock with a face on it, not a digital clock, but with the old-fashioned hour hand and minute hand and second hand, you know, the big clock. And Dr. Robert Ketchum, he mentioned that God's pain for chastening in our life and even the heavy trials are like the hour hand. They go very slow across the face of our life. They're not that frequent. We don't see it that much. But when we see it, we feel it. But it's like that hour hand. He said, but God's mercies and His goodness in our life are like that second hand that just keeps going. Jeremiah said they're new every morning. In other words, every day, God has something for you that He is doing. Every morning, He's got something for you. I got up this morning and I prayed that the snow would push back. And Judy, guess what? The snow pushed back. And the sun came out a little bit up there in Clarkson, and it just stopped. And I said, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. It's just a mercy of God. I think of Dr. Luke. Where's Luke Zukowski? Downstairs with the children's church. He's ministering down there. Luke preached in chapel. I heard he did a great job in the message. But Luke Zukowski, I told him, I said, you know, you just went to Disney World. Wasn't that fun? Was it fun, Anna? Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Their family went to Disney World for about 10 days. Man, they had a lot of fun. I said, but you know what? It comes to pass. But you know what doesn't pass? God's mercy in your life. It's just new every morning. You know, I'll be going to Florida for a few days. But you know what? Not to get out of winter. Because I think the heart of winter is January 15 to February 15. And it's like if you can endure Bukola, January 15 through February 15, it's like your hand is taking the heart out of winter. It went, you say, but it might snow tomorrow and it might snow tonight and be cold. Yeah, but it's not going to last. You're moving towards spring. And I love it when I get through it. I don't have to take a break in Florida. I get through it. I like to come out the other side now and get the warmth. And I like to go through the seasons. And that's what it's saying here. And I want you to see this in Lamentations chapter 3. And we sang about it this morning. Let's go to verse 23. He speaks of God's mercies. He says they're new what? Every morning. Then what's the next thing he says? Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't what you just sang about? Great is thy faithfulness. You know what this is saying? God will let you go through pain, but He'll make it up to you. If you don't go around the pain, see, some people try to run away from the pain, you're only going to get more pain if you're a child of God. Say, where is that? Jonah. Don't try to run away. Stay in the will of God. Stay with God. In other words, I'm saying honor God for His mercy. Honor God for His goodness. Those are His attributes. Goodness and mercy. He's too good to be ungod. Honor Him. And listen, don't let people that are not honoring God lead you away. Let them go away, and if they're saved, they're going to be spanked back, or if they're not saved, they're going to have to go to hell. I'm sorry, but you stay with God, and stay with the pain, and honor God, and let Him be your portion, and you will find out if you do that, you're going to help a lot of people. You're going to influence a lot of people, because it's not going to be you, it's God that's going to influence through you. And you know, the psalmist put it this way. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know what? That means behind you is a guy named Goodness. And what's goodness? That means beneficing. Somebody there to benefit you. Somebody there, like a beneficiary. Somebody there to give you things. Goodness, good things. And behind you is mercy. That means pity when you mess up and sin. He's there. Goodness and mercy are behind you. In other words, they got your back all the days of your life. And when you realize that and you think about that, you begin to see what God is doing and you count it up. And instead of being a grumbler, you know, some people are grumblers. They grumble about everything. You see the blessings. And it says in the Psalms, when you have that knowledge, it says, my cup runneth over. My cup is running over right now. It is. It's running over. Will I ever go through pain again? Perhaps. I've gone through a lot of pain in my younger years and through my middle years and so forth. But more and more, I'm learning to honor my God and walk with Him because He has goodness and mercy and blessings. And so let me just say this, that God wants you to have your cup running over and make progress through your pain. First by humbling yourself under God's hand when He's dealing with you, then by hoping in God because of His promises for the future, and then by honoring His attributes of goodness and mercy and faithfulness. You know, I see these people all the time. They're unfaithful to their partner. For one thing, the only true partner is a man and a woman in a covenant of marriage. But even then, people take on themselves a marriage covenant and they are unfaithful. I'm so glad God is not unfaithful. He is faithful. If He saves you, He's married to you, He will never divorce you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And we need to honor Him, hope in Him, and be humble under Him and make progress through pain. Let's bow together for prayer. And I'm going to ask a question this morning. Are you born again?